Hi, and welcome to The Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, to exclusive interviews of leading industry experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Linda Stokum.
Today, I am joined by David Mandel, JDMV, who is a lawyer and principal of the wealth management firm OJN Group in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Adam Braunscheidel, CFP, who is a wealth advisor at OJM Group also. They talk about qualified retirement plans, also known as QRPs. They discuss important roles needed for a medical practice's QRP, how to know if a physician is paying too high of fees for their QRP, and much more.
Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
Sure. This is David Mandel. I'm one of the principals at OJM Group. My background is as a lawyer, and I look forward to chatting with you today.
And I am Adam Braunscheidel. I am a CFP, Certified Financial Planner, here at OJM Group as well. And my primary role are more on the investment and then the qualified retirement plan side as well.
Why is a qualified plan liability a hot topic today and one that medical practices should be aware of?
I'm going to take this one and I'm going to give you some institutions and some numbers. University of Chicago, $6.5 million. MIT, 18.1 million. Ameriprise Financial, 27.5 million. Mass Mutual Insurance Company, 31 million. And Nationwide, $140 million. The reason why this is a hot topic is that very large institutions have been losing lawsuits or settling lawsuits from their own employees for these amounts. Okay, so you're talking about University of Chicago and MIT, probably in the top five, you know, financial universities in the country in terms of their economics department, business departments. And Ameriprise, Mass Mutual, Nationwide are companies that manage qualified plans for maybe some of the physicians listening for this, yet they each had to settle tens of millions of dollars to their own employees because they screwed up. And so why is this a hot topic? It's because lawyers, and I say this as a lawyer, have realized there is a lot of money out there. You know, that famous saying from some bank robber said, why do you rob banks? And he said, because that's where the money is. So the answer is that physicians need to understand that if these large financially oriented institutions and service providers in the industry are screwing up and basically violating their own fiduciary duty to their employees, then you can imagine that there's many medical practices who don't have their eye on the ball here, who have just sort of let their plan continue, who may have inherited, and we see this all the time, especially Adam does, and I'll talk about that, potential liability inherent in medical practices qualified plans. And this isn't something typically that's covered by any insurance, like malpractice, what have you. And the physician themselves, or the physicians themselves who own the practice, are the ones with the fiduciary duty, the owners. And so this needs to be, it should be more, I think, of a hot topic in terms of being the awareness. That's why I'm glad we're doing this, because docs need to realize, you know, in my world as an attorney, I get questions all the time about malpractice liability or, you know, slip and falls if they own the property, and they're concerned about this, but they're not thinking about their qualified plan, and there should be. They should be.
What are three important roles needed for a medical practice's qualified retirement plan, and how can the practice avoid conflicts of interest between these roles?
I try to keep it fairly basic. There's really three primary roles in terms of, you know, outside of your company directly that you're going to work with when it comes to a qualified retirement plan. The first one is what's called the third party administrator, or in our world, TPA for short. They are essentially, they're like the attorney for the plan. They're going to file the ERISA or the regulatory documents, the 5500. They're going to make sure that the plan is in compliance from a testing perspective. There's a lot of different technical aspects of that responsibility that the TPA covers, but at a basic level, they're really in charge of filing the regulatory documents with the ERISA or any of the plan governing bodies. Or the next plan party would be the record keeper, or who I liken to the CPA. We all have our maybe personal CPA or our CPA for the practice, but there's also one, in essence, what's called the record keeper for the retirement plan. And their responsibility, again, is to track contributions as, you know, as your employees or participants are making contributions. They're in charge of tracking dollars got in, make sure they got into the correct investment options that they have elected, really just tracking contributions both from the employees, but also from the practice or the employer side as well. And the last party would be really where our firm comes in, the investment advisor. And they are helping pick investment fund lineups, maybe doing education for the underlying employees, really serving as an advocate on behalf of the practice owners or the trustees of the plan for just, again, education, investments, things like that. From a conflict perspective, we find a lot of times there's bundled plans and there's unbundled. Bundled would be all three of those parties are the same at the same firm, institution. We could talk about some of the names specific, but unbundled would be all three of those parties are coming from different companies. We think unbundled is best because it avoids these potential conflicts where, you know, hey, you pick XYZ investment fund company and they're also the advisor. Well, they might have a conflict to put your participants in various funds. Maybe they're not great from an investment perspective. Maybe they're expensive. Just creates a potential conflict that you want to try to avoid. Again, as David kind of mentioned, just some of the lawsuits out there, typically it's around investment fees. We're going to cover that now here in a second, but you want to avoid that if you can.
How can a dermatologist or a practice owner tell if they're paying too much in fees for services related to their QRP?
Kind of segueing from what